Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of iRibe English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Rouhani, an expert from Islamic House of Qom, is here in our studio today to answer today's question. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, today's question of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Belief asks, if the destiny and the fate of the human beings are predestined and pre-planned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so why and how actions like supplication and worshipping and prayer can change the destiny and the fate of human being?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You see that, first of all, we should know that according to the Islamic beliefs, particularly the Shiite beliefs, we do not believe in determinism in a way that there is no role for the will of man or the free will of man. No, we believe that man is equipped with free will, and it has free will. That is why whatever decision he makes, whatever, let's say, act he performs, is based on his own irada, on his own free will. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this man, for example, based on his own free will, today he will, for example, supplicate or perform some supplications or make some du'as or not. So the second point is that du'a itself is, again, within the realm of that qada and qadar. We cannot say that it is outside that, for example,
yes,
hukm or qada and qadar of ilahi.
Uh-huh.
This is what we should understand then. When you make dua, it means that you yourself, by your own free will, you bring change to your, let's say, destiny, to your fate, and actually you try to bring like positive things in your life, in your existence.
That's right.
So that's why we cannot say that, and the dua has no role, and man who has free will has no role in his destiny or in his, let's say, fate and his life. These are not such a thing that we can justify according to the Islamic beliefs.
Can you redefine for us what is qaza and qadar? I mean, what are they? What does it mean by qaza or qadar? Are there any
difference? Qadar means measurement.
Okay.
Yeah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala measures someone. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that, for example, the life of this person should be in this, for example, way, or in this kind of measurement, or this risk or sustenance of this person would be in this, according to this, for example, measurements.
Yes.
And then a hukm, qada means hukm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decide that this thing will happen, that this thing should happen. And this is hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why qada goes to hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qadar goes to the measurement of everything by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
But this qaza and measurement or hukm, it does not deny and reject completely the, let's say, free will of man, and iradatul insan, which is free.
So you mean there is no compulsion by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in predestining or planning something for human beings which is unchangeable, isn't it?
That's not like that. You know, it means that, for example, everybody, every day, for example, decides to do many things, yeah? The question is that, are these things be decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or by the man? And according to the Shiite theologians, we do not believe in completely freedom of man to be independently actually free.
Yes.
And there is no kind of absolute predeterminism that there would be no role for the man's role or for the freedom of man. Rather, it is amrun bayna al-amrayn, a status or the position between the two positions. It means that man has his own role. By his free will, we decide, for example, to do something. By our free will, we decide to, for example, to make dua or to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for some kind of changes.
That's right.
So this willing towards dua, or this dua itself, is a kind of thing that we do it and we perform it based on our free will. We cannot say that, for example, there is such a kind of predeterminism that man has no role in his action and his, let's say, deeds. Because in that case, then the day of judgment, qiyamah, punishment, adab, jahannam, jannah, all these things become meaningless.
That's right.
Yeah, if there is no role for man, then why this man should be punished? For example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself acts, himself does whatever the man do,
that's right,
and there is only God who is doing that, in that case, why this man should be punished? Why this man should be rewarded?
That's right.
Al-Ayyadu Billah, Allah should, should punish himself.
Okay. In a beautiful prophetic hadith, we read that La yaruddu al-ghadha illa ad-du'a. I mean, nothing can change a person's destiny or fate. We can't say except du'a or supplication. I mean, how does the mechanism of du'a work, Shaykh? I mean, is it, for instance, a person must be clean, a person must have wuzu or something, or after prayer or salat, the du'as are going to be accepted more? Or no, it could be any moment for any person with any type of circumstances.
There are some conditions for du'a to be accepted. We cannot say that every du'a or any du'a can be accepted, yeah?
All right.
For example, first of all, it is said, for example, that du'a should be really, really, with a kind of sincerity or ikhlas. Honestly and sincerely, the person should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something.
Yes.
And this is the first point. And the second point is that the person who asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should listen to Allah first. You know, if you do not listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why Allah should listen to you? Sometimes some people always commit sins and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately, intentionally, willingly, knowingly. So these kind of people, people's dua may not be accepted because they always actually act out of kind of arrogance against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why when you ask dua, it's better to be first of all, the person should be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First of all, the person should be careful and cautious about the sins, the crimes that he might commit against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he should purify his soul. He should be practicing Muslim. Yeah, these are the things that first should be there, and then du'as will be accepted, inshallah.
Dua is such a powerful weapon that it never needs to be updated. It was effective at the time of Adam, at the time of Nuh, at the time of Musa. It's effective today and will be effective until Yawm al-Qiyamah. It's an effective weapon because dua takes you back to the world of dhikr. And when you're mindful of Allah, you're less likely to sin. الدُّعَاءُ سِلَاحُ الْمُؤْمِنِ Number one. And then what does the Prophet say? وَعَمُودُ الدِّينِ It's the pillar of religion. Many of you are familiar with another hadith that is very similar. Weren't we taught that what? الصَّلَاةُ عَمُودُ الدِّينِ So is this a contradiction? Rasulullah here says, dua is عَمُودُ الدِّينِ And another hadith, Rasulullah says, Salah is Amud al-Din. Is this a contradiction? No. Because if you look at Salah, Salah is simply a formal dua. Salah is all dua. Amud al-Din, it's the pillar. When the Prophet says, Ad-Dua wa Amud al-Din, do we have this pillar in our lives or do we only recite dua once in a while when I have a big musibah? It has to be part of our daily routine. And then what does the Prophet say? وَنُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Dua is the light of the heavens and the earth. What does this mean? In Ayatul Nur, what does Allah say about Himself? اللَّهُ نُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ The Prophet says, if you make dua, you are speaking to the one who has illuminated the heavens and the earth. And if you are in constant communication with Allah, you will become like a mirror that reflects this nur.
As we read in Surah Ghafir, ayah 60, Ud'uni astajab lakum, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
So you supplicate to me so that I will answer you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need our supplication, Shaykh.
Exactly.
I mean, our du'as are not because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because of ourselves. And is there any specific occasions in which our du'a can for sure change the fate or destiny, or is better to say the conclusion of such a situation, Sheikh?
Yeah, there are good times for du'a. There are good places
no, no,
for
no.
du'a.
I mean, are there any specific situation in which if we do du'a, for sure the result will be changed? For example, a disease or something like that.
We cannot say that 100% we are sure that, for example, the du'a in a special kind of situation would be accepted. Because in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that sometimes there are something that you consider them as a good things, but in reality, they are bad for you.
Yes.
Sometimes there are bad things and you consider them as a good things because of not knowing, yeah?
That's right.
عَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. So that is why this kind of ayat tells us that if sometimes, for example, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for some changes in a specific, for example, occasion, and that change might not be good for you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is omnipotent, omniscient, and He knows well what is good for you. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful and kind to you and caring about you. So that's why whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides for you, that is the best one.
That's right.
Yeah, sometimes it might not be completely in accordance with your desires or with your wishes.
All right.
But that is better for you. This is the point that we cannot, for example, ensure everybody that your dua will be 100% accepted.
That's right. Okay.
It will be accepted in a better way.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Very good. So in better words, we can say that dua is a kind of, using our free will in order to attract, or it's better to say in order to gain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's right. In a beautiful sentence, we read that, never say, because everything was predestined, so my dua is not going to work. But say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala predestined that through my dua everything will be changed. This way is better.
Yes,
I mean, taking a look at the concept of dua or supplication and our destiny and fate. Thank you very much, Sheikh. It was very kind of you. For sure, our supplications to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can say is through soul, by heart. But it's better to say that even dua and supplications cannot be replaced, I mean, with salat or something. Or
exactly.
Salat cannot, it's better to say salat cannot be replaced with dua or something. Some people might say, let's miss the salat. Let's miss, for example, the obligations. And through dua and supplication, I'm going to work out. This is not the way. Thank you very much, Sheikh. It was
You're
very
welcome.
Kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic. Please, for more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min labani Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن أبا علي وحسين وحسن.